Radio Entrepreneurs. Again, my name is Jeffrey Davis. Again, we're streaming live on moneymattersboston.com. If you don't want to listen to our three affiliates on WBNW 1120 in Needham, WPLM 1390 in Plymouth, Mass., and WESO 970 in Southbridge, Mass. And just like our next person we're going to interview, you can find all our interviews for 30 days on our website at radioentrepreneurs.com. And also find our interviews on Facebook and who we're interviewing and on LinkedIn. So we're all over the place. But I'm excited today because we're going to be speaking with Jim Reilly, author of 42 Rules for Superior Field Service, The Keys to Profitable Field Service and Customer Loyalty. Sounds like the title's a whole chapter, Jim.
It is nearly, but it's a big subject.
Well, let's get into it. Tell us, what's the big subject?
Well, the focus is on what you can do as an entrepreneur to provide good service, actually excellent service, to your customers. And in many cases, people view service as sort of a necessary evil. Most folks don't like conflict, and oftentimes when your product fails in the field and your customer calls, it's a conflict situation. They're unhappy and they want something done. And it's things that a lot of companies, again, look at more of a necessary evil rather than a way to build customer satisfaction and, more importantly, customer loyalty. In my experience, and I've worked in the tech industry for quite some time, our most loyal customers in the internet business when I worked for Cisco and in the semiconductor cap equipment business when I worked for Cymer were customers that had significant problems in the field with equipment, and based on our responses to them and our ability to get them back up and going, became, instead of naysayers, advocates for both our company and our products. And we think this book gives some clues over the course of the 42 very short and interesting chapters about how you might be able to do that yourself as you're thinking about your business.
Well, I don't think you're going to get a chance today to go through 42 rules, but maybe we can go through some of the highlights of what you think the rules are so we can start to teach our listeners.
Sure. Let me start with and a couple of things we do in here are sort of they run against the normal grain of what you would consider to be business sense, particularly some of the financial folks. So let me start with one of the biggest ones. We talk about inventory, and the mantra in most of the manufacturing side of the world and supply chain is that inventory is bad and that everything is just in time. Well, guess what? In service, it's not just in time. It's just in case. And the fact that you have a product positioned in the field to be able to respond very quickly to a customer could make the difference between 24, 48, maybe 72 hours of customer downtime. And so our rule says irrelevantly that inventory turns are irrelevant. In the service business, inventory doesn't turn that frequently. And in fact, the leverage there is more of the value of the inventory to the value of the revenue that it generates for you. And done well, service in the field can produce service margins or product margins that are well above 50%. And so it justifies the investment in having that inventory out there.
Well, that's understandable. So, you're basically saying have your expertise out there.
Both expertise from a technical support standpoint, that would be engineers, and the actual parts, the bits and pieces that will fix the machines in the field. So, you know, for instance, take a mundane example. When you drop your car off at a dealership, the last thing you want to hear is, oh, I'm sorry, the part's not at our local dealership. It's at a regional distribution center, and it's going to be 24 or 48 hours before we can get it and get your car back running. So much better to be able to have that part available and have you say, well, why don't you wait for an hour and a half, and we'll have your car ready to go.
Very nice. So, and other rules as well?
Yeah, there's several of them in here. One of the big things we talk about is that stuff happens, and by that, what we mean is that things like man-made or natural disasters, those kind of things happen in the business, and when that happens, that's a excellent time to be ready, have rehearsed for that, and be able to support your customers in the field. Again, personal experience with that, going way back here to the disaster in 9/11. We had previously practiced during my time at Cisco what we would do in an instance of a natural disaster. In this case, it happened to be man-made, but we had parts and our engineers ready to go. Once we checked and made sure everybody was okay, we had done some liaison with the local authorities, and we were able to get in and help our customers get back online as quickly as possible. And that turned out to be, again, a very significant point in their careers and in their businesses that made them much more loyal customers for Cisco.
I want to remind everybody that this is Radio Entrepreneurs, and we're heard daily from Monday to Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. We're speaking with Jim Riley, author of 42 Rules for Superior Field Service, The Keys to Profitable Field Service and Customer Loyalty. And we're going through some of the rules with Jim. Jim, you think we can get a couple more squeezed out of you before you go?
Sure, you bet. There's a couple of other things that you can do. And again, it's one of these things where if you reach out in advance to customers and get them on your side, then they can help you not only with things that you're not doing so well and that you could do better. Maybe your competitors do that, and that's something that you could change, or just as important, things that you do really well, much better than your competitors. And those are areas where you can basically use that to market your products to other customers. And so one of the ways we suggest that you do that is with customer advisory boards. And so you get the senior operational folks from your customers to come in, and it gives you an opportunity to show them what you're doing, what you're thinking about from a service standpoint, maybe even go over some of the benefits of the new products that you're about to field, and then more importantly, listen to them sincerely and take action on what they say with respect to what you do well and what you don't do so well from a service standpoint, and what you could do better to better support their business. And I think the key is when we did these kinds of things in the companies that I've been with, it's developing an understanding of what drives their business, what's really important for them from a business standpoint as it relates to your products and the performance of your products, and particularly if your products fail, what kind of time frames they need to get that stuff back online to make sure that their business doesn't take any kind of a significant hit. And so it's been something that we worked on very strenuously at both of the companies to make sure that our customers understood that we were concerned about their business, and that when they gave us suggestions for things to change, and we didn't take all of them to heart, but when they did give us suggestions, we either acted on them and implemented the changes that they were suggesting, or we came back and explained to the customers why we were going to take another path to try to get the same results for them, but not specifically what they had asked.
Interesting. Again, one more before we go. Any more?
Sure. Let's see. How about one of the things is kind of a nitty gritty item, and that's an engineering change order. So, oftentimes, customers will want an enhancement to equipment, or there will be something that happens in the equipment as a result of fielding the equipment quickly into the field that maybe isn't performing exactly the way that the product managers and the product designers originally intended. And the way they fix that in the manufacturing line is to submit an engineering change order, and that burbles through the supply chain, and then the product comes out with a modification that makes it a better performer. Well, that's all well and good in the manufacturing side, but on the service side, you have to think about the install base out there and what the results of that engineering change order would be. And that can have very, very significant cost impact for you as a provider, because you've got all the parts that are out in the field that need to be repaired. Somebody's got to do that, and that's probably your field service engineers, and you've got to pull all those old parts back in. And so what we suggest in here is that when engineering change orders are considered, that a company makes sure it includes all the cost, and specifically the cost in the field for that, to make sure that the full costs are understood before something like that is implemented.
Jim, if somebody wanted to get a copy of 42 Rules for Superior Field Service, how would they do that?
The best way to do that is to go to Amazon.com and look up 42 Rules for Superior Field Service. Interestingly enough, in this particular field, there are very few books out there on how to provide really good field service and field service that provides both profitability for your company as well as customer loyalty from your customers. And so Amazon.com, good way to do that.
Great. It's been fun speaking with you today, Jim. Again, we've been speaking with Jim Riley, author of 42 Rules for Successful Field Service. Jim, continued success with the book, and we look forward to seeing your book all over the place.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey. I appreciate it very much, and thanks for the time today. Well,
it's my pleasure. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.